Murray, we did our first kind of series of pop-ups in Florida, which is kind of funny because we're focused totally locally this year. And you should ask, why were you in Florida? Well, so funny story, but a lot, maybe most of the community that lived in Sullivan County were...
You're going to their hometown now to preserve that history and legacy. So let's talk about the two separate projects. One, the Borscht Belt Historical Marker Project, which is separate from the Borscht Belt Museum. They're having these dedications, and we've talked to them about these different markers. These, you know, you've seen those plaques around the area, and they've got more coming this May, and you guys are participating in those with pop-ups.
So this is a great partnership. Like when we are on the road kind of doing our stuff, like in when we were in Boca Raton, we're doing long-form oral history. We sit with someone for an hour. We did our first long-form oral history yesterday at the museum. Somebody came in, they sat for about an hour, and we talk about it's, you know, it's kind of a bigger conversation. At the Borscht Belt Marker Projects, we're doing what we call short form, which is we're going to bring a tent, we're going to pop up, there's going to be a lot of people there, and people sit in a seat, we put them on camera, and they give a 10-minute story about like how the resorts or the bungalows or how, you know, maybe the Catskills and the culture of coming up to the Catskills, how they participated in that.
Yeah, and that's coming up. There's one in Ellenville May 24th and one in Greenfield Park on May 25th where you guys will have pop-ups.
Yeah, we're going to do them. There'll be several over the summer. These are the first two, and they're back-to-back, and these are going to be great ones. The Ellenville one especially is a great opportunity because, like, on this project this year, the partners are Borscht Belt Marker Project and the Borscht Belt Museum. So everyone and us all in Ellenville.
That's the center there. And, you know, that project is so great, that marker project, because, and we've talked about this, but again, there were no historical markers commemorating the Borscht Belt. And now there are 9, and their plan is to have 15 by the end of this year. And that intersection of, you know, Borscht Belt and Woodstock, you know, place for you to grab more history.
So it's amazing. When I think we did our first kind of partnership pop up with them at the, in August at the marker dedication in Conneauga Lake, and I think we had probably 10 people just sit down in a chair and give a short story. It's really great. It's an opportunity to capture these stories that people walk around with, and they're probably telling, you know, their friends and everyone, but again, they're just not recorded in the museum where they will last forever.
Right. And so you've also partnered with the Borscht Belt Museum, and you have an oral history project you're working on with them. Tell us about a recent conversation you had also in Florida.
So again, in Florida was great. So we were reaching out and trying to figure out how to do these pop-ups. We were looking at doing one here in the winter. No one's here. We went down to Florida. We did, I think, 32 oral histories in Florida. We did one with Phyllis Kaufman, who was the owner of Kaufman Bungalows right across from the racetrack, a family that was integral into this community for generations. We talked to this guy named Jay Skolnick, who his aunt had owned Spanner's Italian Restaurant, which, again, was across from Monticello Raceway. It was an Italian bungalow colony. It's really interesting, like a great story. Love to know if anyone remembers Spanner's. We're trying to find pictures and memories of anyone eating an Italian restaurant up there. And then we talked to this guy, Solomon Cohen, who I've been looking for since 2020, since I came. There's this mysterious photos of a carnival at Woodstock. Did you know there's a carnival at Woodstock?
No. No.
All right. So we have these mysterious photos of a tilt-a-whirl and a Ferris wheel. Like, it's just, and there's a stage announcement, some like where Chipmunk says, "Meet so and so at the Ferris wheel." It's just bizarre.
And did you know this was there?
I know the pictures.
You just know the picture, right?
Yeah. And so we found this name, Solomon Cohen. We were able to contact him in Florida, went and talked to him, and got this amazing story, which, again, we working on these things we call the lost histories. And he brought the carnival. Though in his oral history, 3 times, when I say the word carnival, he says, "It's not a carnival." So
what does he call it?
He had a contract to do food service. So he knew Pete Goodrich, who was with Woodstock Ventures and doing that. He had called Pete. Pete said, "We're going to be overwhelmed. If you can bring food, bring food." And he set up on a piece of property called the Brucher property, which was right. It's right next to Bethel Woods today, this piece of property. And So he told this story. He built these booths out of plywood in his dad's garage. He went to the city. He found people to do a truckload of hot dogs, a truckload of hamburgers, a truckload of cigarettes. And then he set these booths up and he just sold food. Now, an amazing story for him, because the story about Woodstock, right, is they ran out of food and everything. But his story is he never ran out of food. He sold food the whole weekend. So it was just a great story, again, filling in these holes of what we call the lost histories. And one of the things I say, Woodstock's not one story, right? Woodstock's 450,000 story. This was a really unique story and really is the reason we're doing these, right? Yeah. The reason we're doing these. If you have a story, come out to the Borscht Belt Marker Project dedications. Sit down in a chair and give us a story. If you ever ate at Spanner's, come to one of these dedications and tell us if the food was good.
What does that mean for you when you're connecting the dot here? You have like some missing pieces, as you know, and you find one and you connect with someone like Solomon and kind of you fill that in.
You know, to be honest with you, I thought when I was coming to the historic site of Woodstock, I knew a little bit about Woodstock, right? And I thought that this museum would know everything there was to know. I just figure after 50 years, you would know everything there was possibly to know. So I've been amazed at the things that aren't known or the things that are almost known. Like we have, again, we have access to about 13,000 pictures of Woodstock. And you find a picture of a Ferris wheel and it is not in a single book.
Nobody knows where it came from.
It's not in a single book.
Let's talk also about the new special exhibit at the museum, How Bizarre, Arts, Crafts, and Camping at Woodstock. What's this exhibit about in the Woodstock experience?
So this exhibit is about the Bendy Bazaar Woods, camping, and the crafters, like the vendors, like the hippie vendors that were in the Bendy Bazaar. We've put together, this is the first exhibit that really has been driven by the Oral History Initiative. So again, we talk a lot about these lost histories or things, but we have talked to, I think, 7 of the vendors that were in the Bendy Bazaar. We have mapped out, I think, where 9 of those of the 24 locations were. We found those. We have put together pictures. And throughout since 2020, again, I've been amazed at how many people will do an oral history, which is really their life story, and then donate the artifact that they've held on that's been the memory of this. And we had a critical mass of camping artifacts. Mm-hmm. And so we've put those in kind of a really, really cool diorama of clothing and a tent and sleeping bags and a Coleman stove. And it's just amazing. And when you see it, it feels like you're walking back into Woodstock. It's very cool.
There's more information about the new exhibit and also about the Oral History Project at BethelWoodCenter.org and the schedule of the upcoming pop-ups, starting with that Ellenville one in cooperation with the Borscht Belt Historical Marker Project on May 24th and throughout the summer. And again, as you said, focusing on local stories here in the area. And you're asking folks to fill out a form at BethelWoodCenter.org to request an appointment because of this overwhelming volume, which is great.
That's good for sure. But also, if you come to one of the marker projects, you just can walk up to the tent. We'll sit you in a chair and you can tell your story.
Start talking. Dr. Neil Hitch from the Museum at Bethel Woods. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
We'll take a break. And when we come back, the spring cleaning along the upper Delaware River watershed, it's litter sweep. We'll be back after this. It's Radio Chatskill.
Hey there, I'm Jason Dole, reminding you that public media is under serious threat. Efforts to eliminate federal funding could disrupt everything that you rely on from Radio Catskill. These funds help us provide listeners like you with crucial information, from life-saving emergency alerts to local news. But if federal funding vanishes, we could lose all these essential community services. The stakes have never been higher. Visit protectmypublicmedia.org and tell Congress to protect Radio Catskill while there's still time.
You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. The Upper Delaware Council's litter sweeps are underway as volunteers are spring cleaning the Upper Delaware River Valley all month long. The town of Highland and the town of Delaware litter sweeps are scheduled for tomorrow with their brightly colored Don't Be Trashy t-shirts, on which you can find the Radio Catskill logo on the sleeve because we're a proud media sponsor of this year's litter sweep. Farming Country's Rosie Starr was on the scene last Sunday at the Damascus Township litter sweep, where 13 volunteers were cleaning up, and she has this report.
For Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr. It's Sunday, April 13th. It's a beautiful spring day. The weather picked up after a spring snowfall that melted, so there's a light breeze and there's some sun in the sky. There's some spring peepers if you're around water, and the coltsfoot is in bloom along the side of the road. But the reason why we're gathered here today, there's about 12 people that gathered at the Damascus Manor Community Center just by the Coshecton Bridge, because it's one of the Litter Days initiative for the Upper Delaware Council. And the Don't Be Trashy litter leader today is Evan Padua. We'll hear from him later. But I'm sitting in the truck hours later after picking up bags and bags and bags of trash along with some volunteers. I have a couple sitting here with me, and they're going to say hello and tell us about their experience.
Hi, my name is Heidi Hackamer. So we live in Damascus. We've been here for a little bit now. And today's experience was, on the one hand, really heartening and also very frustrating at the same time. It's great to be able to get together with neighbors and be able to do this type of activity together. So I'm really grateful for Evan and others for organizing it. But then we picked up so much trash on the road, and it just blows my mind that people just throw stuff out of their windows. I don't understand it.
I don't either. And I was with you for part of the afternoon and found you picking up some unusual vein of trash.
I think we found some old trash from, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 30, 40 years ago, that had kind of embedded itself into the soil. And I got a little obsessive and I was trying to get it out. So we found some cool bottles, some old shoes, and some old purses.
Well, what do you think about this initiative? You think it's good for the community? Would you recommend it?
Yeah, I think anything that gets us out and together and off of screens and in spaces together is probably a very good thing for the community and for all of us to get to know each other better.
Well, thank you. And we have sitting next to you another person, a gentleman. He's going to introduce himself and tell us about his experience.
Hi, I'm Heidi's husband. My name is Ty Montague. It was a great day. First of all, we lucked out on the weather. It started out kind of cloudy and a little bit chilly, but the sun came out. And I was reflecting as I was picking up garbage, if we'd waited a few more weeks, there would be so much foliage that you wouldn't be able to see it anymore, because a lot of it is quite hidden on the sides of the road. So it was a great day for cleaning things up.
I think that's one of the reasons why it is at this time of the year. It's April, and we think of Earth Day, and it's good for the planet what we're doing as a community service. And a lot of times all this garbage is hidden under the snow, and you're right, in the summer it gets buried again. So what are your thoughts about how important this is for the community?
Well, I think the kind of hidden benefit beyond just picking up the garbage, which has, you know, obvious kind of advantage for the community, is just the connection. Like, I got to meet 12 people that I had never met, or 10 people that I had never met before today. I think it's really good for people in the community to meet and get to know one another. It allows us to figure out, beyond trash collection, what else might we want to accomplish together. Let you put kind of faces with names, and it helps put down some roots, I think.
That's very well put. Thank you for that. Did you find anything unusual, or what was your version of what you picked up?
I think Evan won today. He picked up a television. I couldn't tell if it was a working television, but it was certainly intact. I didn't get anything too exotic, mostly building materials, and by far the majority was beer cans. So apparently there's been some parties.
Yes, I understand. I only found one vaping stick today, and my unusual find was a beautifully painted brick, and I think part of a muffler fell off someone's car. Okay, well, thank you for speaking to us.
Of course.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
And as I said before, the litter leader for today was Evan Padua. He's part of the Upper Delaware Council. And so Evan's going to tell us what his experience was today, especially as the litter leader. Any particular things you want to say and tell us what it's like to be the litter leader?
And Rosie, thank you. Just got some Damascus community citizens together today to pick up trash on the side of the road. Remember, don't be trashy. That's our slogan. So please don't throw your garbage out the window. We'd appreciate that so we don't have to do it every year to pick it up. But if you are going to go out and pick up trash, remember the litter sweep goes through the whole month of April. There are supplies at the Upper Delaware Council. So any Riverside Township in the Upper Delaware Corridor is sponsored by the Upper Delaware Council. You can stop by, get bags and gloves and safety equipment and a shirt. And so I just want, you know, reiterate, be careful. Wear your gloves if you're picking up trash. Check for ticks afterwards because you're in the woods and on the side of the road in the grass. So, and careful of the wind and tree limbs coming out of the sky. So, just be careful on the side of the road, but we appreciate anybody who can help and pick up trash. So, thank you.
What unusual things did you find today, and where should people put the trash once they've got it?
We did find a couple unusual items. We did find a TV, of course, an old one. And then we found, I call it a brain bucket, but it was like a motorcycle helmet, like a Harley Davidson helmet. So that was kind of interesting. And, you know, some other random items, but mostly beer cans. So please don't drink your light beer and throw it out the window. That would be appreciative. Most townships are working with the UDC. So if the township buildings have dumpsters, you can reach out to your local township to dispose of roadside garbage. They're usually willing to help this time of year. Or in celebration of Earth Day, just cool enough that we weren't sweating too bad walking down the street, and the sun popped out this afternoon for the first time in a few days, and all the snow melted. So hopefully spring is here.
I think we had about a dozen people that met at the Damascus Manor Community Center by the Coshecton Bridge. How did you put out the word to get folks excited about this?
Well, big shout out to Linda and Jeff Dexter. Between myself and them, we just reached out to some of our local community residents, and people were willing to lend a helping hand. More would always be better, so if you can help out throughout the month, you know, it doesn't have to be part of the organized event, but I know a lot of folks who do the roads right around their houses throughout the year anyway, so we always appreciate that. So any help is appreciated.
Why is this so important for the community?
Well, it just brings people together, and, you know, we met a few new folks today, and they were happy to help and really, really friendly and motivated, so it just brings people together, and the Damascus Community Center is starting to have a bunch of events, too, so keep an eye out for those events if you live in the Damascus Township.
Don't Be Trashy initiative is available. What's the website?
UpperDelawareCouncil.org. And that'll have most of the information. There's a litter sweep tab on there. Also, the Upper Delaware Council Facebook page has information as well. So get on there. All of our meetings are public as well, so you're welcome to join any meeting throughout the month. UpperDelawareCouncil.org.
Thank you for today, and thank you for your work with the Upper Delaware Council.
Thank you for participating, Rosie.
For Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr. Don't be trashy. Don't throw your trash out the window, and if you see some, pick it up.
Good advice, Rosie. Rosie Starr from Farm and Country, and don't forget Farm and Country tomorrow at 10 on Radio Catskill. That's all for this edition of Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for listening.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Narrowsburg Union and Catskills Curated, presenting products of regional artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen. Gift wrapping and shipping available on site. NarrowsburgUnion.com. The Cooperage Project in Honesdale, dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFRadio.org.
This week in This American Life, Jack's father had been mad, but never like this.
And he said, "I've worked all my life to make sure that when you walk down the street, people say, 'There goes a hit. They're good people.' I don't think anybody has damaged that reputation as much as you have today."
Honor thy father and mother. It's the Ten Commandments this week on This American Life.
This American Life, Saturday night at 6 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville, streaming live at WJFFradio.org. This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR. Today's forecast, a few afternoon clouds mixing in with the sun with a high of 67, some wind gusts up to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight with a low of 51. Clouds with rain developing later in the day tomorrow and a high near 75. Partly cloudy and 55 for the high on Sunday.